I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
And we're going to talk plenty of Buffalo Bills with Matt Perino covering the Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard, NewYorkUpstate.com. But Gene, I think you and I both remember a day not too long ago when we were just putting our kids on the bus for the first time. Kindergarten. I mean, like, that, it seems like so long ago, but what an unbelievable day that Matt Perino got to experience today on the first day back to school there in Buffalo. Matt, how are you today?
I'm great, man. It was a little bit of a roller coaster this morning with my wife kind of going through all the emotions, myself as well, but it was a good day. We got a good report, so everything's good on my end.
Do they do full day or half day in your district there?
Full day. So he got on the bus at 7, and he was dropped off at about 2:30.
Hey, Matt, I think a lot of Bills fans were kind of taken aback by LeSean McCoy being released by the team. I think a lot of us that are closer to the team weren't as surprised. Where on that spectrum were you on Saturday when you heard the news?
You know, I refreshed the tweet from Adam Schefter a few times before I really believed it, just because they seemed, you know, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott seemed so confident in, you know, LeSean McCoy heading into this 2019 season. We talked about it over and over again, and, you know, how much they, you know, they were willing to kind of stick with him. So my level of shock initially was kind of high, but as the day went on, it made more and more sense. Listen, we've talked about all training camp and preseason long, how good Devin Singletary has been, how good Frank Gore has been. And, you know, just, you know, that a guy like LeSean McCoy is not going to probably be in your long-term future even after this year. So it makes sense. I think looking back on the last year and a half, you probably would have liked to have seen them deal him for some draft capital. But, you know, I think that the long and short of it is they needed to go younger at that position. They've done that now with LeSean McCoy out of the situation, and you know, it's all systems go for Devin Singletary, and I think that's a good thing. You want to utilize your rookie running back in that 4-year window on that rookie deal.
I mean, do we have any idea of how the carries are going to be divvied up? I'm sure they're not going to tell you, but what's your hunch here? Because if they're letting go LeSean McCoy, you would think that it's Singletary time here, him to get the bulk, or do they put him on ice here and just unleash him later on? Matt, how do you think this plays out?
I think that he's going to get the bulk over the course of the season. I think at the start, it's probably going to be, you know, a split between he and Frank Gore. I imagine Frank Gore will get the start. Like you mentioned him on the unofficial depth chart, he's listed as the number one guy, but I don't think that he has as unbelievable as Frank Gore is, you know, from a physical perspective, I don't think that he's going to be able to carry the load for 16 games. So I think Devin Singletary is going to get a lot of action. Frank talked yesterday in the room when we were talking to him about LeSean McCoy and everything that's transpired in the last 48 hours. About T.J. Yeldon and how much he's leaned on T.J. Yeldon to help kind of lead in that locker room and, you know, bring Devin Singletary along, who he also called the most NFL-ready rookie that he's ever played with in his 16-year NFL career, which I think speaks to, you know, the confidence level that not only the guys in the room have, but what Brandon Bean said when they made the move and the confidence level that they have in Devin Singletary. So I think Singletary is going to be a big part of the offense from the get-go, but I think you might see Frank Gore kind of maybe lead the way in the first couple of games and see that come together over the course of the season.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest in the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. You mentioned that depth chart. Gene mentioned it in SportsCenter. What do you make of it on the offensive line to see Cody Ford there at right tackle and Ty Nsekhe not at right tackle? I mean, do we read anything into it at all, or do we expect to see Ford at guard on game day with Nsekhe at right tackle as he was for a good chunk of the preseason? What are your thoughts?
So my initial thoughts are I don't see a scenario where you can put Ty Nseke on your bench and be comfortable with it, because I think there's no doubt about him being one of the five best offensive linemen on this team. But if they were to go into the season, it does make some strategic sense because of his age, because of the knee injury throughout camp, and the situation on the bench. You know, he is the only real swing tackle candidate because he has experience at left tackle. He's obviously played right tackle throughout training camp and preseason. And they want to get Cody Ford on the field. And they traded up to get him in the second round. They believe in him. I think they still, despite Sean and Brandon saying that he's played well in both spots and they have confidence with him at right guard and right tackle, I think they view him as a right tackle still. And the thing about this depth chart, what it says to me, even though it's unofficial and it kind of comes more from the communications department than it does from the, you know, the coaching staff or the front office, I think that this speaks to how much John Feliciano has impressed in his preseason and training camp. He came in there, came in for Mitch Morse. The team didn't skip a beat. I thought that the second game against Carolina, their offense was so fluid with John Feliciano running the show. So I think that they have confidence level that in him, and he has an obvious connection with Bobby Johnson. There's a synergy there. I think that they're trying to find a way to get John Feliciano on the field, and this kind of way makes sense. I'll be interested to see how Ty handles that, because I think he came here and signed the contract with the thought that he was going to be a starter. So it'll be—I can't wait till he gets to Sunday morning when they put out the inactives, and then an hour later when we go to kickoff to just see where everything kind of shakes out. Because on the left side, I think Dawkins and Spain is pretty much set in stone.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest, the Bills opening week one Sunday against the Jets over the weekend. First time we got to hear from Mitch Morse in quite some time that he was clear from concussion protocol. When you're going through that, you don't speak to reporters. Your takeaway here, what is the level of concern in Mitch Morse's mind in regards to, you know, the injuries he's suffered here over the past couple of years?
I mean, you talk to him, and he did a really good job of reassuring anybody that had concerns. I mean, he said at the beginning when this first happened, he had all the questions, like, why me? Am I damaged goods? But then as he's moved through this process and, you know, he's gotten some mental clarity, he says that he feels like, listen, I'm just approaching this like I've talked to all the specialists that I can. They've reassured me that, you know, there's nothing wrong with me at this point. So he's approaching it like, if he gets another concussion and even another concussion after that, you know, he knows what he's signing up for and he's okay with it. He feels healthy. He feels ready to go. Now, this, on the same time, I think if you're a fan of this team and you're looking at this offensive line, you like the depth that they brought in, but this is concerning. I mean, you know, this is a game and, you know, everybody just loves the game of football, but there's a guy's, you know, future and the health of this guy on the line. If he were to suffer another concussion, and then we're talking about three in less than 365 days, that's concerning. That's troublesome. I don't think the brain, you know, is built to handle that kind of thing. So, yeah, I definitely think this is a concern. It's why that he hasn't played in the preseason. He might have been ready to come back earlier, maybe playing that third preseason game, but they wanted to take it slow and have him ready for the opener. I like the additions that they made and the depth that they've brought in case of a situation that comes up. But yeah, as far as Mitch Morse goes, it's going to be something to watch. And this is year one of a 4-year deal. I think that the Bills are on the line for half of it. So I've gotten that question a lot from fans. Like, what happens if, you know, he gets another concussion and has to retire? The guaranteed money in that was only around 20 to 25 million. But the man, the person, it's definitely concerning.
Matt, what about the rest of the cutdowns on Saturday? Were there any surprises to you as the Bills trimmed the fat a little bit? And we know now the practice squad is complete as well. Some of those names that might have been a surprise landing on the Buffalo Bills practice squad.
Nothing really. I mean, really working through the wide receiver battle, it made all the sense in the world to me that this team was going to wind up with six wide receivers and Isaiah McKenzie was going to be that guy that won the sixth spot. He's done the most. This summer, he did the most in his NFL career before this. And I just think that he's got the versatility in his game to be a weapon in so many different dimensions of the offense. I like Duke Williams, but he hasn't done anything in this league yet. And his skill set, you know, if you were to end up on the field in an NFL game against number one, number two corners in this league, I don't think he's going to be as effective, so I think he's more of a developmental project. That makes sense to me. I think on the other side of the ball, the lack of depth on the outside at cornerback is something that stood out to me, because they only really have three guys with any experience in Tre'Davious White, Levi Wallace, and Kevin Johnson. And I asked Brandon Bean on Sunday about that, and he said that the team has confidence that Saran Neal, which this was surprising to me because I've never seen him line up at outside cornerback, that he could pop out there in case of an emergency. And Taron Johnson obviously played on the outside in college. So they feel like at this point, they have enough on the 53-man that if there were an injury, I mean, we saw in that preseason game against Detroit, Trey White went down and Levi Wallace went down for a moment. So if that happens in a game and you're left with Kevin Johnson and Saran Neal to get you through it, I think that that would be concerning. They're very high on Cam Lewis. I think it was us talking back in rookie minicamp. I was pretty high on Cam Lewis coming out of school. I thought, you know, from the people I talked to that I know at UB, he seemed to fit the Sean McDermott mold. They bring him back on the practice squad, and it seems like they have all the confidence in the world that if something happens, you know, long-term with any of these guys in the active roster, he would be a perfect fill-in option there. Undrafted rookie at the University of Buffalo. Nice story.
We're talking to Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard. Your thoughts on the Bills moving on from Tyree Jackson. Gosh, Tyree Jackson, a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking here, but a lot of people at the time said, hey, maybe it's better you go to Auburn or some big program, stay at UB. Did he do himself a disservice by coming out early? Do you think he gets another shot? And your thoughts on Davis Webb, somebody that the Giants once thought enough of to draft in the third round with the Jets. Your thoughts on the move, Matt?
Yeah, I think that it makes all the sense in the world. Listen, I was a fun game to watch on last week when Tyree Jackson was able to leave that furious comeback down the stretch. And I think that he's progressed over the course of the summer. I was at his pro day, and after watching him, you know, not super closely as last season with UB, because I was just so entrenched in the Bills beat, you know, watching him in his pro day, I left that day very unimpressed and questioning, you know, if he was going to be drafted, because it just, the throws look different. I mean, I get to go out to practice and watch Josh Allen throw the ball every day. So that's an NFL arm, you know, that I've, even Matt Barkley, you know, a guy that doesn't have the power, but, you know, you just see the throws they make. Tyree Jackson's mechanics are completely different. The ball just comes out of his hand different. So I question things with him. And over the course of the summer, he definitely progressed. But I think this is a perfect case study for future, you know, mid-major quarterbacks to really sink their teeth into, get their people to watch. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't make sense to come out early, and he probably should have taken some of the advice that I've heard he received to stay in school, maybe go to a big program like that. In terms of Davis Webb, yeah, I think it's a very I think it was Ryan that put out the story, a very Belichickian move of the Bills to go out there and get the a guy that spent the summer with the Jets before the opener. A guy that, you know, obviously, like you said, if they're a former third-round pick, it'll be they needed somebody with some experience and some talent to run that scout team offense. So I'll be interested to see and watch what we see, what we're allowed to see out of him. It's not much. But yeah, interesting moves, because the Bills seemed so high on Tyree Jackson and so enamored with the fact that they were able to get him as an undrafted free agent. They gave him the 75 guaranteed. So I guess I was a little bit surprised they didn't bring him back, just because it seemed like they wanted to develop him, because of his similarities in his skill set compared to Josh Allen.
Matt, if we are fortunate as Bills fans and Jets fans as well, we'll see Darnold versus Allen for many, many years to come. Now, Darnold got the best of the Bills during the one time that these guys met last year in Orchard Park. I'm curious as to what your thoughts are as we look ahead to Sunday's matchup between Allen and Darnold. Which team do you have the advantage? Do you give the advantage to going into Sunday?
I give the advantage to the Bills, just because I think that their offensive line is head and shoulders better than the New York Jets. And, you know, the idea in going out and getting a guy like Ed Oliver is you're going to be able to cause some disruption in the middle of that offensive line, get in the face of a guy like Sam Darnold, who has shown in the past a penchant for throwing interceptions when he's kind of pressured. So I think that with that, you're going to see now this entire defense on the field for a full game. I'm very excited about that. And I think that, you know, Josh Allen, there's some opportunities in that Jets secondary to maybe take advantage with some of the new weapons that he has. I was talking to Cole Beasley in the locker room yesterday, and I asked him, I was like, listen, I think I've asked you this question this summer about six times since training camp started about, you know, the status of the relationship with you and Josh Allen. And I know it's annoying, but I think it's noteworthy now that we have this entire body of work going back to the beginning of camp, where is it at? And I said, do you feel like you guys are totally on the same page at this point? He didn't blink an eye. He said, yes, definitely. He said at the beginning of camp, there were balls that maybe weren't there. He had to kind of learn who I am as a receiver and where I like things. And right now he has the full confidence that they are going in locked and loaded, ready to attack from a complete offensive standpoint. But that particular relationship that we talk so much about, that is so vital to the success of this offense and kind of working on some of the things that Josh Allen might not have been great at a year ago. So going into this game, I anticipate that, you know, Jerry Hughes, Ed Oliver are going to make things difficult on Sam Darnold with this offensive line in front of them. And they have to do that because that's one of the things that Sean McDermott emphasized over the course of the offseason, that they wanted to get more pressure. They wanted to force more turnovers. And that starts up front. And, you know, how ready is Ed Oliver? We're going to find out on Sunday.
I think we can expect what Cole Beasley's role is going to be. I think we know what Brown is. Where are we at with Zay Jones? Because it got a little weird with the social media stuff from his parents, particularly the mom. But we move past that. Zay Jones on this roster. Matt, is he the number three on this roster? Where do you think Zay Jones is, year number three, heading in? Because to me, it looks, from what I said, this is the make-or-break year for Zay Jones on this roster.
It's a big year for him, no doubt about it. And I've been saying that, you know, all summer long. But did the social media stuff with his parents get weird? Because last year, his mom was tweeting about Kelvin Benjamin, and, you know, I thought that that was weird. So this, they're just kind of sticking up for the kid. I mean, that's their shtick. Every time you ask Zay Jones about it, he's kind of indifferent. It's almost like a LeVar Ball situation. Like, they're their own people. They can do what he wants. He doesn't really pay attention to it. I think that he is in a good place mentally. I think that he handled this whole preseason special teams development, playing with the second team in that Detroit game. He handled it very well. And he's going into the situation now, if he has a good grasp on where he can attack in this offense with a guy like John Brown in the mix and Cole Beasley in the slot, if he can kind of find a niche for himself, Josh Allen has confidence in him. He said it over and over again. And so I think that, yeah, John Brown is a guy, and Cole Beasley, they got the big money in free agency. The expectations are high for them. But I think that's a perfect scenario for Zay Jones to sneak in here and be the kind of consistent guy that they hope he can be, and he was at times last year. I don't think people talk enough about the circumstances of last season, how bad this offensive situation was when they entered week one with Nathan Peterman and Kelvin Benjamin, and just the toxicity of that in a locker room and on a team. And they had to build this thing from the ground up with a rookie quarterback. And I thought, for the most part, Zay Jones handled it pretty well. 7 touchdown catches, almost 600 yards, 56 receptions, and significant progress from year one to year two. But like you said, year three, expectations are higher. He's a former second-round pick, and now he's got to deliver. And I think he's in a good position to do that.
Matt, it is meaningful football time on Sunday, and I'm curious, and our listeners are curious, what you got working this week at NewYorkUpstate.com. What can we look forward to?
We're going to have a nice little piece I've been kind of had in the holster on John Feliciano for a while. I'm going to have that out this week at some point. We will have my path to the playoffs for the Bills. I'm going to map it out for everybody. That will drop, I think, maybe tomorrow. We'll have some stuff today on my conversation with Cole Beasley yesterday. Some stuff on the dynamic of the Frank Gore, LeSean McCoy relationship, which is still to me one of the most unique things I've seen in sports. He was talking yesterday in the locker room about how they kind of squabbled a little bit in their few months together. I mean, guys that are friends, they've trained together, and the competition brought out some highs and lows in their relationship, which I thought was pretty interesting from Frank Gore. So we'll have all that this week, and we'll have you covered all the way up until game time on Sunday.
Matt, look, people that say they're in the training camp or into the draft, nothing compares to the regular season. Finally, football is here, Matt. We can all say yes.
I can't wait till Sunday. I'm actually going to – oh, that's another thing.
You're going Friday.
York on Friday.
Yeah.
Early. I'm going to go into the Jets locker room on Friday and see if I can get some some of their impressions of this Bills team and Josh Allen ahead of the opening.
Make sure you're available for at least a text on Friday. I know Gene and I like to do our compilation of all of our experts and their season predictions, and then we kind of aggregate them all and come up with an average of what we think the Buffalo Bills might do for the upcoming season. So we'll be getting that prediction from you. And if I'm not mistaken, I want to say in the summertime, early in the summer, that you did have this team in the postseason. You're going to write about that this week at NewYorkUpstate.com, yes?
Yes, 10 wins. I'm sticking with it. That was my pre-OTAs prediction, and I'm sticking with it. I see 10 wins this year.
Great stuff, Matt. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, guys.
You got it. Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, writing for NewYorkUpstate.com. You can read his work there.
Yeah, we're going to cover this game a lot. We're going to have experts on from New York, get the other side of it, because I'm sure downstate they're thinking, well, we're a 10-win team, yeah, too. We got the young quarterback. We made all these improvements. We spent money on our running back. Yeah, yeah. This is a good matchup. This is a good test for the Buffalo Bills week one, facing a team that is kind of on the same timeline as them.
Let's get to some takes in the sports bar. It's called I'll Drink to That. We play it every afternoon right around this time. Takes on tap. And Gino, I know a long weekend has you salivating to just unleash some fury.
Yes.
You have some takes on tap?
I mean, yeah. Well, let's start with what we saw in Syracuse. Wow, what a hero. Look, we talk about real heroes in the world. There is one hero in college football we need to kind of salute here.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to give our week one spotlight game also here coming up, and I'll drink to that. I want to talk about Kansas City, Jacksonville.
All right.
This is interesting. The Chiefs are by 5. I think Jacksonville is one of those teams. Wait a second. They could end up in the postseason. This is a really good game. I'll tell you which way I'm picking that game.
Now we've got Gene's survive and advance pick here coming up in just a few minutes as well, so stand by for that. I'm going to tell you how quickly things can change around the NFL. And one player who won't go away anytime soon. And my non-sports take today involves, well, what a lot of us were watching over the weekend, the footage of the devastation caused by the hurricane down there in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
I've been hearing a lot about people that are trapped or people that wanted to evacuate. We'll get into that with my non-sports take. That's coming up in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia with I'll Drink to That next on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.